squeal unless they put him in prison, and they didn't put him in prison. Where have we gone in this country? All right, let's talk about the Sicko movie, because if you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Michael Moore has done a tremendous job, I have to say. I don't always agree with everything Michael Moore does, but his movies just keep getting better and better. And he makes the problem pretty clear. Talking about people who don't have insurance, people who are underinsured, in America, a man who chops off his fingers sometimes has to choose which finger to sew back on because he can't afford the payments. Again, example after example after example. And while, you know, I don't know that I would have chosen Cuba as the right country to emulate, a country that actually rates slightly below the United States in healthcare. Certainly France, certainly Britain, and certainly, certainly Canada are neighbors to the north. You know, when we think of radical, socialized, universal health care, many of us might think of France, where Michael Moore points out, yes, they even will bring someone to help do your laundry when you have a baby. Many Americans will think that goes too far. I don't know. I think it might be a nice service. But Canada ain't like France. They don't have the taxes the French do. They're not very different from us, eh? Tell me about it. Okay, I give a lousy Canadian accent, but the point is that really Canadians are not very different from us, except, of course, they have health care, except, of course, they care about their fellow citizens. Canadians, unlike Americans, understand the social compact that should be in any society. Why do we look out for the weak? Interestingly, religious people, Christians, used to understand that as a religious commitment, Jews as well, Muslims as well, charity. They didn't have to ask why. They knew it was the right thing to do. Secular humanists may be above us religious folk because they understand it as a commitment, as a requirement, without having to go to a deity to require it. But what of the people who call themselves Christian who don't believe that Americans deserve health care? What of the people who literally look at someone down and out and dying in the street, and instead of saying, "There, but for the grace of God, go I," say, "Excuse me, you smell and you're in my way"? What of those people? Well, but then we make this argument. We make an argument that doesn't rely on compassion, because we know that there's no such thing as a compassionate conservative. That's an oxymoron. We'll throw compassion out the window. And we're not going to make an argument on religion, because we know that these so-called Christians would just as soon crucify Jesus Christ rather than helping him with his little health care problem on the cross. No, they're not going to help him. They would step over him and tell him he smells. So we can't appeal to Christianity, and we can't appeal to compassion. How about appealing just to basic self-interest? The argument goes something like this. You don't know when you're going to be sick. I, thank God, am healthy right now. To my knowledge, I don't have cancer. To my knowledge, I don't have any serious health problems. Have to watch my cholesterol a little, but other than that, I'm okay. But God forbid tomorrow I could be in a car accident, I could come down with leukemia, I could have a brain tumor, and I'm glad I can afford health insurance. Very glad. And I'm also willing to pay taxes, social insurance, so that no American goes without health insurance. And you don't have to chalk it up to religion. You don't have to chalk it up to compassion. You can chalk it up to pure self-interest. You know, there are some people who believe in the Declaration of Independence that it says all men are created equal. Of course, Thomas Jefferson didn't include women. He didn't include slaves. But we now understand the broader impact that all men and women are created equal, whether white or black, of whatever religion, of whatever age, whatever sexual orientation, all men and women are created equal. That is the mantra of our country. Some of us believe in it. Some of us see the fireworks on July 4th and believe that we should all be equal under the law. For us, universal health care is not even a question. Not even a question. But there are those that don't believe we are born equal. We are created equal. There are those that believe that Paris Hilton, who through absolutely no good deed or talent of her own, happened to be born the grandchild of a multi-billionaire hotel magnate, that she is better than a poor black child growing up in the ghetto who happens to be brilliant and have a cure for cancer but will never go to medical school because he'll never go to college because he can't afford to go. Nor can he afford basic health care to treat basic sick problems that in every civilized country on earth are treated. So who's more deserving? A girl that gets drunk and parties all the time, drives without her license? Or someone who could have the cure for cancer, but happens to not be created equal, happens to be born into a poor family? Well, we all know Republicans' belief. They would take us back to George III. On the 231st anniversary of the founding of the United States of America, they would take us back to a land of noblemen and kings and queens and dukes and others who, by virtue of their birth alone, have all the privileges of society. There's nothing Republicans hate more than a meritocracy, where people are judged, as Martin Luther King once said, by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin, or I would add, the size of their bankroll. The Republicans are the Tories. They are the loyalists. They would go back to England, except England right now has universal health care. And the poor conservatives can't turn back the clock 231 years. They'll just have to bring George III back to the United States of America. In this case, it's George II, George Walker Bush. Toll-free number, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back after this.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds. And we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the Week in Review. Of course, this week was July 4th. Michael Moore's movie coming out. The infamous get-out-of-jail-free card to the man protecting the traitors in the White House. And I'm still playing a little bit of my interviews from last week where I was at the Take Back America conference. Any topic is valid. Just give us a call. See what you think. Susan, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Susan,
hi,
are you
Mark.
There?
Hi, Mark.
Hello, hello.
if the conservatives want to bring back George III, we're just going to have to bring back Francis Marion for the same reason.
Tell us about Francis Marion.
He was otherwise known as a slop box. He pestered the English something fierce by inventing the American version of guerrilla fighting.
I see.
By the way, in case you haven't seen it, we have been screwed again. The FTC has dumped net neutrality and handed us over to the corporations. They've even recommended against legislation.
Did that come out today?
Yeah, I put it on our main blog site.
You know, they hide that kind of thing. Here they parted Libby the day before July 4th. And they take away your internet freedom the day after July 4th. They do it. It's interesting because, one, it's a very slow news week, and so people aren't watching the news. They're busy celebrating with their family, so they feel like people won't notice it. But then, of course, there's the wonderful irony of destroying our freedom the very day after we celebrate it.
Well, also, I have been on the phone to my delegation, to put it mildly, and I've been telling them something I think people should be telling them all across the country. If you take away the last best ability of people's ability to dissent,
I mean, the internet's all we got. It's all we have left. It's all we have left is the internet. It's the only free press left in America. That's it.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess we have to go back and start running our own printing presses out of our homes and distributing flyers. That's about all we can do.
For all intents and purposes, the internet is it. If you want unbiased news, you hit the internet. You don't.
That's why they want to take it away. Listen, Susan, not everyone knows what net neutrality is. And I've done shows on it, but I think you're right. It's about time I do another show on it. Basically, folks, what it is right now, the way the internet works, and this seems so intuitive to you that you wouldn't even realize that it's a special rule. But right now, prior to the change that Susan's talking about, if you go to a website, lo and behold, you can go to any website on the internet. You can go to liberal sites. You can go to conservative sites. You can go to MSN. You can go to Yahoo. And one site doesn't, at least it's not supposed to, interfere with the others. In other words, just because I may get to the Internet from AOL or from Comcast, that doesn't mean that they can favor AOL or Comcast or disfavor the head-on radio news network. Well,
exactly.
Of course, the corporate interests don't like that. They want to be able to restrict what we can watch, what we can do. They want to make their sites favored, coming really fast. And the other sites that would do things like, say, internet radio or video, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay to get those. We may have to charge you at the horn, not for us, but to pay off the corporate interests. Vonage will go out of business. It's a very, very serious danger. And it's one of those things that I don't think will pop up until it's too late. It's like cable networks. You know, when it first came, we thought cable TV, that's a really good, we get clear picture. And lo and behold, in the course of 20 years, we went from getting television for free to now everyone paying $30, $40, $50, $60 a month for what we used to get for free. Lo and behold, it snuck up on us. Well, that's what they're going to do to the Internet, my friends. And Susan, you're absolutely right to bring it to people's attention.
And if you do not have access to these outside sources,
that's
your
right.
safety valve is gone.
That's right.
Pressure builds up.
Well,
what happens when all that is building up and there's no outlet? Boom.
The only option then is to take to the streets.
Exactly.
Hey, Susan, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
You have a nice day such as this.
Yeah, you too. Look, I'm not giving up on my country. I'm not giving up on America. We made it 231 years. Yes, we're in trouble. Yes, we are showing the same kind of decay that the Roman Empire showed, that the British Empire showed. Frankly, I don't even think we need an empire, but we have one. And we're taking our best and our brightest young men and women and plumbing them away in a war that they know has no chance of success. We can't even define success. We don't even know who the enemy is. Heck, we're busy arming the very people who tried to kill us. Now, it's one thing to do, as our administrations have done, like Reagan, and arm Osama bin Laden before we knew he was out to kill us. But to arm them after they've tried to kill us? The only people who get rich, of course, is the military-industrial complex. Kellogg Brown Root, Halliburton, all the president's friends, all the plutocracy. And they continue to get wealthy. Folks, I'm not going to get a chance to play the Gravel interview. It's about 15 minutes long. I'm going to save that for another day. So I hope you'll tune in next week. I do have a number of interviews that I still want to play from the Take Back America convention. All kinds of interesting interviews from political analysts, from economists, from people with some good inside knowledge on the Bush administration, and I will definitely get to that next week, so stay tuned to the Inside Scoop for that. Let me just close by reminding us what America is all about, that we are a system of checks and balances, a system whereby we do not have one man or two men, the two men in this case being Cheney and Rove, the two people controlling our government. We don't have two men in control of our government. That's not the way it's supposed to work. There's supposed to be checks and balances. My friends, the Constitution is not quaint. It is not an anachronism. Yes, it is 220 years old, but it's still alive. It can still be amended. And one thing I think we're going to have to do is amend the presidential pardon. We're going to have to pass an amendment, and I don't see why we can't get a bipartisan majority. This isn't about Democrats or Republicans. An amendment that says that if the person that is getting the pardon conspired with the president or the vice president of the United States to do a crime, the pardon is invalid, and a special prosecutor shall be appointed to determine whether or not that is true. An independent court shall look and see whether each pardon involves a conspiracy with the White House. Some would say farther. Some would say you just can't pardon anyone who's convicted of corruption while serving in the federal government. Cannot, if the crime involves an official act, sorry, no pardon. Look, when you decide to work for government, when you decide to take that power that is granted you, that extra power over the lives of your fellow citizens, you have to give up a little bit of your freedom. When I became a lawyer, they fingerprinted me. And I consented to it. I had to become a lawyer in California. Now, that's a little scary. If I go and rob a liquor store, they got my fingerprints. And if I commit a crime, even worse. Well, okay, fine. I'm a lawyer. I'm an officer of the court. I guess I just have to be careful and not commit crimes. Fine, I'll do that. Similarly, if you work for the federal government, my friends, you should be unpardonable. If you work for the federal government, you commit a crime, you serve your time. And if you're not willing to go that far, at least if you work for the executive branch of the federal government, under the president or the vice president, you shouldn't be pardoned for your crime. And I think we need a constitutional amendment to say just that. But you know what? James Madison was right. I must end where I opened. We don't need to amend the Constitution. There is a ready-made answer already there, my friends. And you know it as well as I do. Say it with me as we all say it together. Impeachment. That is the safety valve. That is the way out. That is the only hope for our republic. And hopefully the commutation of the sentence of Scooter Libby, the all-but pardon, the get-out-of-jail-free card will be seen just as the Saturday Night Massacre was to Richard Nixon, as a wake-up call to Americans all across the country to examine the lawlessness of this administration and to punish it. That's all for now. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Thank you. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Well, all right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia, or at least what's still going to be standing of it at the moment, because I tell you what, there is one hell of a storm on the way in here. So if I happen to disappear, you'll know why. It's not a cyclone, but the winds on the way are equivalent to a Category 2 cyclone. Getting ready to smack Sydney. I'm watching the radar images right now. It's already hit Wollongong. It's going to be coming up through our area overnight. I have a feeling during this program you might end up starting to hear the rain through my microphone if it really starts hammering the tin roof on the shed out the back. This could be an interesting day. You might be sitting there going, you might hear me say, Noah, where's the ark? But I have both my cats, one male and one female, inside. They're safe and sound. I tell you what, for a country that's been in a drought, we are getting smacked with the rain just unbelievable. It's been raining for almost 3 weeks here, which has been really great for the aquifers and the dams and all. However, because we've had no rain for almost six years, it's flash flood. Central Wollongong has gotten hammered really badly over the last couple of weeks. Incredible amounts of damage there, and you know this could be a sign of what is to come. More erratic weather, and within a drought, then sudden incredible rainfall. And it's going to be huge. I spent the afternoon today just going and which is your yesterday for most of you, getting everything in our backyard either stowed away or strapped down. All the garden furniture into the shed, all the loose plants into the shed. It could get a little wild. I mean, we're supposed to be getting winds of upwards of 125 kilometers an hour. So we're talking, 80 mile an hour winds. it could get a bit interesting. So, hopefully the old roof on this place will stay on tight. But you know, I'm not too worried about us here. Thankfully, the house that we live in is not actually, you know, sitting right on like a concrete slab. It's actually raised up like a good 18 inches at its lowest. So you know, we're all good. I'm probably a good, you know, meter off of the ground in my little studio here. And so it's gonna be interesting. Like I said, I keep watching the satellite images. For those of you in the States, I'd give you the web address to look at our local radar, but I realize that it's blocked outside of Australia, which is unfortunate. It could get kind of fun. Have I got some stuff to do? But first of all, before I go any further, big congratulations to our good friend Peel for his debut last night. I do believe that must be the most successful launch of a new program in Horn history. I have never seen the chat room go off like that since we've been doing this thing. And it was great fun last night, and it was fantastic. And if that's the first go, just imagine what that show is going to develop into. And Mark Levine's appearance last night was just fantastic. And the callers were lined up around the block, and most of them were straight. Did you expect that, Peter? Anyway, major story today. The Independent's top headline, I won't actually get into reading this when we get back, but the headline at the Independent right now, the top headline: the Earth today stands in imminent peril. And nothing short of a planetary rescue will save it from the environmental cataclysm of dangerous climate change. Those are not the words of eco-warriors, but the considered opinion of a group of eminent scientists writing in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. And they take the IPCC to task for softening the blow a bit, even though they have come out with some pretty strong statements. You know, many environmental organizations were very critical of the last IPCC report, even though they thought, you know, things were good. You know, it was a good report. They still said it was pulling punches, unfortunately. So, you know, we'll get into that after we come back from the break. I've got some Google's got some really interesting things going on. I mean, I know Google is like our such a friend on the net, but yet our nemesis because of the personal information. But they're doing some really, really interesting things when it comes to global warming, their carbon footprint, and we'll get into all that as well. And today's track of the day is very apropos for this Independent story. We're going to do a little track from Chris Cornell called "Preaching the World." And if you're not familiar with Chris Cornell's first solo record that he did at the eyes of Soundgarden before Audioslave, you're missing a treat. It's a phenomenal record. It has that bit of a sound of a guy of, I just lost my band of 20 years. Here I have kind of a contractual obligation album, and I'm not sure what direction I want to go. And it kind of goes all over the place, but it's a really, really wonderful record, and it's a really great showcase of one of the greatest rock and roll voices in history, in my mind. So, anyway, we're going to head out to our first break, and when we come back, I'll start getting into this Independent piece, and we got just heaps to do today. So, stick around. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. This is Foxed Up, and you know, where we do the green thing, and I haven't been doing that much green stuff lately because I've been doing constitutional stuff. But we're gonna get back. We're gonna get back to basics, back to what the show is really about. So, stick around.
You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back after this.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox Talk with John Fox. We'll take a look at the tragic death of the Rolling Stones founder, Brian Jones. Was it an accident, a suicide, or was there just something more to it?
He started pleading. Oh, come on now, come on, let me go, will you?
It's not a case that was investigated as a possible homicide.
We did not mean to kill him.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And, you know, I keep saying that things are, you know, it's a dodgy situation with the old environment. And that, you know, none of us who focus on this issue want to be, you know, doomsdayers. But, you know, for years we've been, you know, trying to tell people, and long before I got up to speed on this subject in the last few years, you know, have been telling people, you know, things are going on, and we're now getting to the point where it's getting to be a bit, you know, it's getting to be a bit scary. And so this piece here at the Independent, telling you, this is blood-curdling stuff. Hold on to your hats. Six scientists from some of the leading scientific institutions in the United States have issued what amounts to an ambiguous warning to the world. Civilization itself is threatened by global warming. They are also implicitly criticize the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for underestimating the scale of sea level rises this century as a result of melting glaciers and polar ice sheets. Instead of sea levels rising by about 40 centimeters, as the IPCC predicts in one of its computer forecasts, the true rise might be as great as several meters by the year 2100. That is why they say planet Earth today is in imminent peril. Now, these aren't activists. These aren't people like myself who get on radio and scream and shout and say, you know, wake up. These are the people that try and use the reserved, you know, non-biased language, you know, trying to be all facts, actually getting emotional about the message because they're starting to get to the point where they're feeling the need for the baseball bat to ram the message home, you know, the metaphorical baseball bat or cricket bat. In a densely referenced scientific paper published in the Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, some of the world's leading climate researchers describe in detail why they believe that humanity can no longer afford to ignore the gravest threat of climate change. Recent greenhouse gas emissions place the Earth perilously close to dramatic climate change that could run out of control, with great dangers for humans and other creatures. Only intense efforts to curb man-made emissions of carbon dioxide emissions and other greenhouse gases can keep the climate within or near the range of the past 1 million years, they said. 1 million years! And we've done this in, you know, a century and a little more. The other scientists were Makiko Sato, Pushkar Karicha, and Gary Russell, also of the Goddard Institute, David Lee of the University of California, Santa Barbara, and Mark Sadal of Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory at Columbus University in New York. In their 29-page paper, Climate Change and Trace Gases, the scientists frequently stray from the non-emotional language of science to emphasize the scale of the problems and dangers posed by climate change. Like I said, they're getting to the point where they're getting emotional about it. In an email to The Independent, Dr. Hansen said, "In my opinion, among our papers, this one probably does the best job of making clear that the Earth is getting perilously close to climate changes that could run out of our control." Hey. The unnatural forcing of the climate as a result of man-made emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases threatens to generate a flip in the climate that could spark a cataclysm in the massive ice sheets of Antarctica and Greenland, the scientists write. Dramatic flips in the climate have occurred in the past, but none have happened since the development of complex human societies and civilization, which are unlikely to survive the same sort of environmental changes if they occurred now. You getting scared yet? There's a link to this on today's show post. Please email this to every one of your representatives, to every media host that you know, to every personality that you know, to every blogger that you know. This, I'm telling you, I've been getting more and more upset and emotional about the subject in recent times because I'm getting really, really worried that we've pushed things past the point. And I've talked about the feedback loops where these cycles start to feed unto themselves and they start to kind of, you know, they accelerate in just dramatic fashion. It continues on. I think we won't get to the track of the day until the next segment. I really want to finish this whole thing. I think it's just that crucial. And then you need to go back and read it again, and you need to go and send it everywhere. Civilization developed and constructed extensive infrastructure during a period of unusual climate stability. The Heliocene, that is the current span of time in which human society has developed. Now, almost 12,000 years in duration, that period is about to end. The scientists warn humanity cannot afford to burn the Earth's remaining underground reserves of fossil fuel. To do so would guarantee dramatic climate change, yielding a different planet from the one which civilization developed and for which extensive physical infrastructure has been built, they say. Dr. Hansen said we have about 10 years to put into effect the draconian measures needed to curb CO2 emissions quickly enough to avert a dangerous rise in global temperature. Otherwise, the extra heat could trigger the rapid melting of polar ice sheets, made far worse by the albedo flip, when the sunlight reflected by white ice is suddenly absorbed as ice melts to become the dark surface of open water. This is one of those feedback loops that I keep talking about. The glaciers and ice sheets of Greenland in the northern hemisphere and the western Antarctic ice sheets in the south both show signs of rapid changes predicted with rising temperatures. The albedo flip property of ice and water provides a trigger mechanism. If the trigger mechanism is engaged long enough, multiple dynamical feedbacks will cause ice sheet collapse. The scientists say, we argue that the required persistence for this trigger mechanism is at most a century, probably less. The latest assessment of the IPCC published earlier this year predicts little or no contribution to the 21st century sea levels from Greenland or Antarctica. But the six scientists dispute this interpretation. The IPCC analysis and projections do not well account for the nonlinear physics of wet ice sheet disintegration, ice streams, and eroding ice shelves, nor are they consistent with the paleoclimatic evidence that we have presented for the absence of discernible lag between ice sheet forcing and sea level rise, the scientists say. Now, ice sheet forcing is that kind of is where you see the ice sheets actually moving across the land masses that they reside on, and they're accelerating. They've been accelerating at an alarming rate. Their study looked back over more than 400,000 years of climate records from deep ice cores and found evidence to suggest that rapid climate change over a period of centuries or even decades have in the past occurred once the world began to heat up and ice sheets started melting. It is not possible to assess the dangerous levels of man-made greenhouse gases. However, it is much lower than has commonly been assumed. If we have not passed the dangerous level, the energy infrastructure in place ensures we will pass it within several decades, the scientists say in their findings. We conclude that a feasible strategy for planet rescue almost surely requires a means of extracting greenhouse gases from the air. And this is the first time I have ever heard this kind of language. Absolutely the first time I have ever heard them say we got to start pulling it out of the atmosphere. All right. I'm told that we have a caller on the line, but Agnes, just hold on to Ben there for a minute. Why don't we go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break, and we'll take Ben as soon as we come back. So we're going to take this break, and we're going to come back and go straight to the phones, and because that's the whole article, people. We need to get this out. We need to get this out. It's getting to be, it's beyond crucial. This is the issue, the challenge of our day, without doubt. Stick around, folks. When we come back, we're going to go straight to the phone lines. You're listening to Foxed Up here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at his new time, 10 a.m. Eastern.
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end.
We'll take a look at two famous recording artists that mocked the Smothers Brothers on stage after too much to drink. And you'll never guess what one of them had on his head. And it wasn't a lampshade. Tune in to Foxed Up this Friday at the new time, 10 a.m. Eastern, with John Fox at the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James.
This is the Quality News Network. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair arrived in Jerusalem today, his first visit as an envoy to the Middle East. His mission is to kickstart peace talks between Israelis and Palestinians. In Afghanistan, authorities are negotiating for the return of 23 South Koreans and one German taken hostage last week by the Taliban. The militants demand freedom for Taliban prisoners. They also insist German and South Korean troops pull out of the country. In southern Afghanistan, U.S.-led troops announced today they've killed more than two dozen insurgents. Yesterday, Afghan troops reported killing 14 Taliban. In unrelated combat, one NATO soldier was killed Sunday. Over the weekend, Iraqi and U.S. troops conducted raids throughout the country, arresting 22 suspected terrorists. Another dozen suspects were captured today. In Baghdad, a U.S. soldier was killed Saturday by a roadside bomb. Four car bombs in Baghdad today killed at least 16 people, wounding another 40. Texans are cleaning up after a weekend of heavy rain caused flooding in south and central areas of the state. There were no serious injuries, but property damage is listed in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Wildfires continue to scorch western states. Yesterday, two fires along the Nevada border joined together and raced into Idaho, threatening the homes of some 7,500 residents as well as an Air Force training range. In New Haven, Connecticut, illegal immigrants tomorrow will begin receiving ID cards, permitting them to make use of city programs and open bank accounts. It is the first law of its kind in the U.S. The Washington Post reports the Federal Agriculture Department distributed more than $1 billion in subsidies to deceased farmers over a seven-year period. Also, federal investigators say only 40% of subsidy cases were monitored between 1999 and 2005. Tonight, CNN and website YouTube host the first